Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Haile Gebrselassie, the Ethiopian star who received a Lifetime Achievement Award over the weekend in Athens, Greece. The presentation was made at the annual Association of International Marathons and Distance Races Dinner Gala in the Greek capital. Among those attending was the energetic Andy Edwards, who asked Haile about his new role as president of the Ethiopian Athletics Federation.
Big responsibility, I'm telling you. Now, every result in what you see, who's behind, of course, Haile. The good result, the bad result, no matter what, now everybody will now start to say something. If it's a good, they talk about it, that's like what he used to do. If the bad result, running and leading, it's not similar. It's not the same. That's what they're going to say. But I really want to put all my effort in Ethiopian athletics. I believe just can do something. That's what I started. Otherwise, it's not necessary to become a president or to do something around athletics. But I need some time. Sometimes means the next 2-3 years.
Of course, we're talking now in Athens, where you're going to receive the Ames Lifetime Achievement Award. We all know about your achievements, but in terms of, are you thinking of restructuring Ethiopian athletics? Of course, you still have great runners, Kenenisa Bekele, of course, and quite a few very good female marathon runners. But the success has not been consistent in recent years. Are there a couple of main points that you see need to be improved in Ethiopia's athletics?
Yes, I have to. Restructuring is really important. Something which one is important for the athlete and I have to check which one is good, which one is bad. After that, of course, I have to restructure. It's not only the athlete themselves. Rule. I have to check again and again. And I found some of the things which one it's not good for the athlete, it's not good for the result. At the end of the day, what we need to win.
Does that also include what I might say as an outsider, a more consistent selection policy? Because there's been a lot of controversy in recent years about who was going to the Olympics, who wasn't, leaving out Kenenisa Bekele from the marathon for Rio this year. What's your view?
Exactly. One of the issue, as you said, election process. The selection of the athlete. It was not the things what you need, because the people who was doing this thing, they didn't know about this process, and that's why we paid price. Rio was really bad, not only because of the performance of the athlete, including the things what they've done before they went to Rio, and that's also one of the things I have to restructure.
Let's finish on a lighter note. We're in Athens. You're going to receive this Ames Award for Lifetime Achievement. Of course, a couple of days after the award ceremony, there'll be the Athens Marathon, and people already have been asking you, what do you think of this? Is the classic marathon course, the legend of Pheidippides? Will Haile Gebrselassie ever run this marathon? Because you still look very fit. You clearly look like a runner. Maybe you'll always look like a runner. What about that? Are you going to be on the start line one day in the town of marathon?
I wish not to run this marathon. At least not just to, to be at the start line and just to see the atmosphere. And, to run and not just a marathon. Of course, I don't promise you not just as a competitor, but as a fun runner. You never know. We'll see.
Well, I think we'll see that the race of life in terms of you, Haile Gebrselassie, as president of Ethiopian Athletics and a power in world athletics, will continue. Thank you, Haile, very much.
Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Haile Gebrselassie. We heard Andy ask Haile about the Athens Marathon, which was dominated by Kenyan runners on Sunday. The first seven runners across the finish line were Kenyans, with Luka Rotic, the overall winner, in 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 49 seconds. And Kenya's Nancy Arusai won the women's title in 2 hours, 38 minutes, and 13 seconds.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is Samson Omale.
We begin with the suspension of Bafana Bafana coach Sheikh Mashaba by the South African Football Association, SAFA. SAFA said a coach will not be travelling to Mozambique with the squad to Maputo for an international friendly match against Mozambique on Tuesday, 15th November 2016, for disciplinary reasons. The association did not divulge the details of what they called a regrettable incident in Polokwane at the weekend, where coach Mashaba led Bafana Bafana to beat Senegal 2-1 to go joint top of Group D of the 2018 World Cup qualifiers.
The whole thing that changes the scenario is that there we have 4 points. They still, I think that will give us confidence going forward.
In other 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifying games played across the African continent, Victor Moses opened and closed the scoring as the Super Eagles of Nigeria overcame Algeria 3-1 on Saturday to take charge of their group in the 2018 World Cup qualifying. Captain John Obi Mikel, a Chelsea teammate of Moses, was also on target for Nigeria at a packed stadium in Uyo.
So we have to continue like this and playing well like this. I think we have a very good chance of qualifying to the World Cup.
Coach Gernot Rau is the Super Eagles coach.
What I like in this team, we change the team, the same spirit. We had this good spirit already against Tanzania here and in Zambia. So we must conserve it and make better in several situations defensively.
With Cameroon surprisingly held 1-1 at home by Zambia, Nigeria have taken a 4-point lead after match day 2 in Group B, regarded as the toughest of the five African mini leagues. Elsewhere, Morocco coach Hervé Renard had to settle for a 0-0 draw in Marrakesh against Ivory Coast, the third goalless stalemate in four Group C matches. Burkina Faso rocked Cape Verde by scoring twice within 29 minutes of the kickoff in Paris, then survived sustained second-half pressure for a 2-0 victory. Uganda followed up a shock draw in Ghana last month by edging Congo Brazzaville 1-0 in Kampala. Geoffrey Massa is the captain of the Ugandan side.
We played as a team. We managed to create chances. There was a moment I thought would have made it 2-3, but it didn't come. The important thing was the win. We got a goal and we won the game. That's what we wanted.
Uganda have 4 points in Group E behind Egypt, who have 6 points after defeating Ghana by 2-0 in Alexandria on Sunday. Wahib Kaziri from Egypt Premier League bottom club Sunderland scored to give Tunisia a 1-0 World Cup qualifying victory over Libya in neutral Algiers on Friday. I'm Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. After this most recent round of World Cup qualifying in Africa, the 20 teams will now take a 9.5-month break before action resumes at the end of August 2017. Our VOA football fans will remember the five group winners in Africa will book tickets to the 2018 World Cup football tournament in Russia. Let's take a quick look at the current group leaders. In Group A, Tunisia and the Democratic Republic of Congo are at the top with the maximum 6 points from two matches, with the Congolese ahead on a +2 goal difference. In Group B, Nigeria is at the top with the maximum 6 points. In Group C, Ivory Coast leads with 4 points. In Group D, Burkina Faso and South Africa are at the top with 4 points each. The Burkinabe lead with a +1 goal difference. And in Group E, Egypt is at the top with the maximum 6 points. The Pharaohs of Egypt are bidding for their first World Cup appearance since 1990. Meanwhile, the U.S. men's national soccer team is aiming for its 8th consecutive World Cup appearance. But the Americans know the road to Russia will not be a smooth one, especially after a 2-1 loss to arch-rival Mexico in a World Cup qualifier played in Columbus, Ohio. The USA's head coach is Jurgen Klinsmann.
So it could have gone either way. It went at the end towards their way, but overall it wasn't very intense, exciting, really, really good quality battle. And now, obviously, it puts us a bit on our toes and going down to Costa Rica and going there for 3 points. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that I can complain about now towards the team. They gave everything they had. You know, we kept the tempo high. We had enough chances to put it away, as simple as that. But we didn't.
As Coach Klinsmann mentioned, the USA now travels to Costa Rica for another World Cup qualifier on Tuesday, and history is not on the side of the Americans. The USA has lost 8 consecutive World Cup qualifiers in Costa Rica, which was a quarterfinalist at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Coach Klinsmann, though, still sounds pretty confident.
I told them, no, we're going to correct it in Costa Rica, and then in summertime we can't wait to go to that Azteca Stadium and go for it right there in their home. It's just part of the qualifying process, you know, the whole kind of long road, obviously over 10 games, and so there's it's not a problem, but obviously it's disappointing, no doubt about it. You don't want to lose this game at all.
That's Jurgen Klinsmann, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Now let's go to Sun City, South Africa, where the Swede Alex Noren won the Nedbank Golf Challenge. The 34-year-old Noren is enjoying his best season ever on the European Tour. This was his 4th title of the year. Noren fired a 63 in the final round. That took him from 6 shots off the lead overnight to a 6-shot victory. Reporter Nick Dye asked Noren about his big win in Sun City.
It's unbelievable. You know, waking up today, I thought if I can get a decent round in, because it didn't feel very good yesterday. Obviously, 2 good rounds to start with, but yesterday was a bit tough, and my game wasn't really there. And I worked some in the room, you know, trying to get the right feelings for today, and it clicked, you know. And I don't think I've ever played this good, especially on the greens. Yeah,
a decent round, a 63.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, to get under par for the round, and then starting off with 3 birdies like that, it's just amazing. Yeah.
It is astonishing to think of your season, isn't it? We've spoken about your assurance and your composure, the confidence being built, but 4 wins in a year?
Yeah, well, it's just, like I've said every time, now I've got a lot more confidence, you know, having the lead and being up here, and it's obviously more comfortable, and it helps with a win, and then obviously, you know, it's been the season of my life, just try to, my caddy helps a lot, trying to stay patient with me and try to keep me patient and hit the right shots at the right times, and I owe a lot to him, yeah.
Well, as much as it's you hitting all those shots, it's a team event, isn't it, in a way? There's so many people to thank.
Yeah, and I mean, I've said so many times, my little daughter helped me relax, and my caddy helps me, on the course, and he's so calm all the time, and then, my sponsors, Callaway, everything they do for me every week, and I've with the putter this week, my Odyssey putter, and I mean, I've never held so many putts, I think, on those first 11 holes.
It would be wrong to compare the events, but knowing this is final series and the history of the Nedbank, does it make it all the more special?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to get in this tournament so many years, and I've never been able to get in it. And then when I got in it, ending up winning it, it feels unbelievable, yeah.
That's Alex Noren of Sweden, who won the Nedbank Golf Challenge in Sun City, South Africa. And Alex was talking with reporter Nick Dye at the Gary Player Golf Club in Sun City. In women's tennis, the Czech Republic cemented its status as the best team in the world by retaining its Fed Cup title in Strasbourg, France. Barbora Strykova and Karolina Pliskova won the decisive doubles match in the final against the host French. The pair beat Caroline Garcia and Kristina Mladenovic 7-5 and 7-5 to secure a 3-2 win for the Czech women on the indoor hard court in Strasbourg. It was a fifth Fed Cup title in 6 years for the Czechs, and their 10th overall. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Happy Monday. Good to be here with you.
Happy Monday to you, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world?
Well, we have these two things that have gone on kind of over the weekend. We still have the reverberations from our election last week, President-elect Donald Trump. And we had, as we talked about on Friday, celebration of Veterans Day. So we talked about a lot of the sports teams are going to be, including service members, going to have huge American flags that they were going to be taking out on the field. But Mike Evans, he's a wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, took the opportunity this weekend on Sunday to sit during the national anthem. And when asked about it, he said it was in protest of Donald Trump being elected as president. And this has kind of set off a firestorm on the internet. You have some people saying good for him using his First Amendment right. That's totally within his rights as an American. Others saying, why is he protesting democracy? Protesting the election of the president is protesting the democracy that Americans hold so dear. And a lot of people took issue with the fact that he sat during the national anthem on this day of the salute to service. We talked about on Friday, Veterans Day, and how all this weekend was going to be for veterans, focused on the veterans. And using this day that was focused on the veterans on Sunday to do this didn't sit well with a lot of people. So a lot of people are talking about this move, debating it back and forth, whether it was the right thing to do or not.
And I know Colin Kaepernick kind of set off these protests during the preseason, and he's still trending out there, right, Andrew?
He is, especially in light of the election this past week. Of course, Colin Kaepernick had been kneeling for the national anthem, what he said was his protest over the treatment of black Americans and a number of black Americans who had been killed, unarmed black Americans in police shootings. So he said that for his race, he was trying to stand up by kneeling. And Colin Kaepernick made quite an admission this past week, however. He said that he did not vote in the 2016 presidential election. He said it didn't really matter who won. And so a lot of people took issue with that. First he had critics over his protest and a lot of people criticizing him over not standing for the national anthem. Now he has a lot of criticism for not voting in this election, especially after he made such a social protest. You would think he would be socially active and go out and vote. And one sports journalist, Stephen A. Smith, he had a bit of a viral video where he called Colin Kaepernick a flaming hypocrite and just went off on Colin Kaepernick. Stephen A. Smith is also African-American, as is Colin Kaepernick, and went off on him saying this is not how you should be representing yourself. This is as an American, as someone fighting for these changes, you should be fighting for those in the voting booth as well as on the field. And so just a lot of controversy dredged up again over Colin Kaepernick and his not going out to vote and exercise his voting rights.
I did see that viral video by Stephen A. Smith, and I think another description he used was irrelevant. Colin Kaepernick is irrelevant now that he did not vote in the presidential election.
Yeah, I think there's a sense that if you're going to make this public display of protest, that you have to back that up with your actions elsewhere. And I think that's the big issue that Stephen A. Smith took and a lot of people took, saying, well, it's great that you're out there protesting. It's well within your right as an American with your First Amendment right to free speech. But if you're not going to back that up with something tangible, with trying to vote for change, then what good does it do? So still a lot of talk about those actions.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Haile Gebrselassie, who we heard from earlier in the show. As I mentioned, Haile received a Lifetime Achievement Award in Athens over the weekend, and there's a shot of a smiling Haile Gebrselassie sitting down with his hands clasped. And he now has a new role, as we heard in that interview, highly now focused on his duties as president of the Ethiopian Athletics Federation. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we went from Mike Evans, who did not support Donald Trump, to Colin Kaepernick, who didn't vote in the election. And now we go to Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, who has come out in the past and said that he admires Donald Trump, or he's friends with Donald Trump. And in fact, he got in a bit of trouble or at least an awkward situation when in a press conference, someone asked him if he was voting for Trump or supported Trump. And he said, thanks very much, and walked away. His wife, Gisele Bündchen, on social media said that they were absolutely not voting for Trump. So there's a lot of question about that. Well, Tom Brady has set the record straight by not setting the record straight. He has told a radio show that he will not reveal who he voted for. He does not want to talk about politics ever again. He wants to move past it. He wants to focus on football. So that controversy, trying to put that to bed. But there was a lot of talk on the internet about whether he was a Trump supporter, whether he would continue to support Donald Trump, whether he would come forward and reveal who he voted for, as he had promised to do in the past. And apparently he's saying, nope, I'm done with politics. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Tom Brady, of course, one of the biggest stars in the National Football League, and he was in a big primetime game on Sunday night, Andrew. Final score from Foxborough, I think it was Seattle Seahawks 31, New England Patriots 24. Kind of a rematch of a recent Super Bowl, but Brady did not emerge victorious in that game.
No, he did not. And to add insult to injury, he was getting made fun of on social media, because what they do in these games is they have shots of the players that they kind of are posing with their arms crossed, or they're, you know, have their arm out or whatnot. And the pictures they used for Tom Brady, there was one that they called Glamour Shot Brady. He kind of had, it would look like a school picture pose. He had his hand on his chin and was kind of smiling. One they called Vampire Brady. He was looking down. His face was lit in such a way from below that it is very dark around the eyes. It looked very scary and menacing. So despite, you know, what he did on the field and his play on the field, he was getting more attention for these photos and how they looked. So not a great week for Tom Brady. He had to defend or talk about his politics, his team lost, and then he's getting made fun of. So as a Jets fan, of course, the Jets and the Patriots are big rivals, although the Jets aren't doing very well this year. I take great pleasure in any time we can talk about Tom Brady's bad week in my selfish Jets fandom.
And for our VOA listeners wondering about the National Football League, where we are in the season, we're roughly a little over the halfway point, I think is the way to put it. We've begun the second half of the season for most teams, so we'll see which ones make it to the Super Bowl. That's always one of the big American sporting events.
Absolutely, and we're going to see, too, if the NFL can rebound on some of the TV ratings and some of the other things they've been tagged with as the hashtag No Fun League. So they have about half a season left to do that. We'll see if they can make that up in the remaining weeks, or if they're going to have to make some big changes in the offseason after the Super Bowl.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the November 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mark Ferguson. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When it comes to humanitarian aid, one of the greatest achievements of the past quarter century is the fact that since the early 1990s, the number of undernourished people who live in the developing world has dropped by just short of half, from 23.3% to 12.9%. But the improvement, though impressive, has been uneven, with great regional differences. In fact, some areas, many of them suffering from overpopulation, conflict, or deep, inequitable economic growth, have actually gotten worse. So, in developing the Office of Food for Peace's Food Assistance and Food Security Strategy for the next decade, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, incorporated the lessons it has learned from the successes and even failures of the past 25 years. One of the more successful ways food assistance programs can tackle chronic hunger and poverty is by looking beyond food, wrote Dina Esposito, director of USAID's Office of Food for Peace, in a recent blog post. This means looking at food security from all angles and asking the right questions, such as how did families earn incomes to put food on the table? How much food did families produce on their land, only enough to feed their families? Or were they able to sell crops too? What were the causes of malnutrition in the communities? The primary goal of the 2016 to 2025 plan is to improve and sustain food and nutrition security in vulnerable populations. USAID's Office of Food for Peace is working to achieve that goal through a two-pronged approach. One works to meet immediate needs and strengthen capacities that protect and enhance lives and livelihoods. The other works to strengthen local systems for longer-term sustainability in key areas impacting food security. There is unprecedented consensus that building the resilience of vulnerable communities, including their food and nutrition security, is key to our larger goals of ending extreme poverty, enhancing stability, and spurring economic growth, wrote Director Esposito. Through the development of the new strategy, we reaffirm our shared vision of a world free of hunger and poverty, where all people live in dignity, peace, and security, and together set out an ambitious goal for the next decade to improve and sustain the food and nutrition security of vulnerable populations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk Flowers, do you believe that they are a symbol of beauty? Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing flowers. Let's Talk comes to you on Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.